This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Yes, Wayne Cunnington.
She's decidedly fishy.
Well, I was watching them this morning. It was actually nice weather this morning for once, and then it started raining. But I went out to, I always go out of a morning and brush my hair outside in the garden. It's nice to get some daylight and stuff. I went out and
I'll do the same.
They were, do you? How's your parting coming along?
Yeah, it's all right.
And they were thrashing about because they're so big. The tail, it's like the whole water goes whoosh. It's quite dramatic.
You sure you were looking at the pond and not the sea?
No, definitely out the back. I was out back.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm surprised the gulls haven't had yours.
I know. I've just ordered, because also we've got little egrets as well.
As you would do.
I don't know whether a little egret would steal them, but herons do. But we haven't got herons, I don't think. They're more in Herne and Herne Bay area.
Yeah.
But I have ordered two decoy owls, you know, those decoy owls, just in case to scare away.
You got an owl.
Any
herons. She's got an owl.
Yeah, the herons will be all right, but the owls might be scared. Yeah.
Not a real owl, of course, a little wooden one. The sale, Paul Andrews, of one of the world's, because I know that you're quite old, so this will interest you. The sale of one of the world's oldest cast iron piers to
Pier.
Piers.
Yeah, yeah.
P-I-E-R-S.
Yeah.
To a private company has been confirmed. Mm. River transport firm Uber Boat by Thames Clippers. That sounds like a hairdresser, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Has revealed it has brought the Gravesend Town Pier and pontoon from Gravesham Borough Council.
Right.
The new owners want to introduce, this is great, this is right on my street. You know, I'm always talking about travel on water.
Yeah.
Why don't we use our rivers? The new owners want to introduce a high-speed commuter river link from Gravesend to London, extending its operation from the capital into Kent for the first time. Hallelujah. That's great.
Yeah, except it won't run in the winter, will it?
Oh, you're joking. Why not?
Well, of course it won't.
What, too much ice?
Yeah.
Why won't it run in the winter?
Well, because it'll be freezing cold and we're blowing a gale.
It won't be an open boat, will it?
It's a rowing boat.
It's not a rowboat.
You have to row yourself.
No, it's one of those passenger ones.
It's a galley. You all have to take an oar.
Have you got... Don't they have slaves anymore?
No.
Oh.
It's not allowed anymore. No. You've got to do your own rowing.
Oh, that's awful. I don't think I agree with you. I think it's a nice little cabin. They could serve hot chocolate.
They could call it Uber Boat or something, couldn't they?
That's what they've done.
Oh, is it?
They've called it Uber Boat, Paul Andrews.
How did they think of that?
Do you know what? When I was in Liverpool the other week, you remember when I was there?
Yeah, I do.
I was avoiding the busies.
I know.
But when I was there, I went on one of their little boats round the Mersey.
You didn't ferry across the Mersey.
The Mersey. And I had a hot chocolate with, what did it have in it?
Oh, marshmallows.
Tia Maria on a boat. So you could do that on your way to work.
Yeah, of course you could.
And some of them
have too much work. Yeah. Got there.
Well, it depends how many you have.
She'd turn around and come back. Yeah.
For Karen, Tia Maria.
See, Karen's obviously thinking of having lots. So I would have decorum and just have one.
Yeah,
on
but
the
you
way.
Don't work in London. You'd be on the boat just for the Tia Maria, wouldn't you?
Exactly. Yeah. But you can get the little houseboats and things with a wood burning stove.
They have the lovely, what's the boat that you can go out on in Whitsun?
The Waverley.
The Greta.
Yeah,
that's gorgeous. That is, they've got a big wood burning stove downstairs in the galley.
I wanted to take my mum on there, but her birthday's always too late, October 21st.
Lovely. We went in October and the weather was lovely.
Really?
It's a lovely trip,
The tide wasn't right for my mum.
No.
Where does it go? Does it just sail?
It goes to Shellness. Shellness is... as its name suggests.
Shelley.
And we saw loads of seals which was fantastic.
Did they smell?
I didn't get that close.
They can really pong.
Can they?
Yeah.
What will happen is in the early spring, Jules will go out into her back garden, there'll be a seal lolloping in her pond.
Yeah. Oh, that would be lovely.
Dining out on the carp.
Yeah.
And the peas.
We'll be flicking them up in the air and go, koi and peas, my favourite.
I think there'd be no paupers in that, though, would there?
Oh, dear, oh, dear.
You do need a sense of paupers for these kind of shows. Yeah. Look, the Folkestone and Hythe Council green business grant. Oh, my new husband said something funny, talking of things you say. So this morning, because I've bought a load of pistachios, because they're really good, again, for thyroid and stuff that I'm doing. And so he said to me, he opened the larder.
How she ever gets ill? She's got all this stuff, and she says, it's really good for you, it's really good for you. And she eats tons of it. And then she goes, I'm so ill.
Look what I've got.
I've eaten too much.
Look at my little snack for going home, little boiled egg. But then I've got, look, because I tend to eat loads of pistachios.
Cockles?
Mussels. No, it's pistachios.
Oh, right.
Little jar. Because like, that stops you eating too much, doesn't it? Because you know when you start nuts. But anyway, he said something funny. So he put his head in the larder and he said, when are you ever going to eat this pistachio, Colonel? And I said, call me Captain, please.
Oh,
the hours must fly by.
That's what it's like in our house.
It must be real fun, mustn't it? Yeah.
It is.
And then shall we go and watch the fish? Yeah, okay.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Folkestone Hythe Council Green Business Grant. He advises the United Nations.
Just read the damn email.
Sometimes wonder with him, advising the United Nations with jokes like that. Folkestone Hythe Council Green Business Grant Scheme. We love this. It's they've introduced, Paul Andrews, are you listening?
I'm trying.
They've introduced a green business grant scheme to help smaller businesses become more energy efficient. Grants of up to £10,000 may be available to your business, up to £25,000 in exceptional circumstances. We're all in exceptional circumstances. The scheme will currently run until 31st of March 2024. So to find out more, go to folkestone.works/green-business-grant-scheme. It will be on Kent Business Radio too. Go on there and find it. So they don't really divulge what it's for. Is it for solar? Is it for...
Well, it's for any green initiative, isn't it? Anything that's eco-friendly.
Okay.
Could be anything. I suppose it could be...
Well, what about people that work from home? Would they be eligible if they run a business?
If it's a legitimate business, then yeah.
And do they have to be in Folkestone Hythe?
Yes.
It's worth moving.
Well, Shepway, because, whatever it used to be called.
Yeah.
Anyway, Folkestone and Hythe Council is what used to be Shepway, yeah.
Mm.
So, yes, you'd have to live in their area.
I told you I bought a generator with solar and a battery.
Yeah, you did.
Just
did it work
to keep
okay?
going. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's good.
Do you know what?
Should we talk to Karen?
Can we please talk to Karen?
Let's get off the pegging.
I promise not to talk about peas at all.
Pegging, peas.
You can talk about whatever you want, Karen. It's her that drives me potty. I mean, I just...
But if she talks about her French Bordeaux Mastiff...
She can talk about whatever she wants, but it's a pleasure. It is a pleasure. It is a pleasure. It's a pleasure.
And a relief.
to have Karen Stanley on the Business Bunker show this week. A lot of Channel Radio listeners may know Karen from the show that she did for a while
here on the
station, talking about her work as an author. She's an author, a book producer, and a teacher. So, Karen, I know you mentioned it earlier because Jules kind of asked you, but tell us a little bit about your background. You worked as a teacher for many years.
Yeah, so I started life as a hairdresser, weirdly, but only because my mum was terrible at doing hair. So I went to college and she advised me to shave my eyebrows, and I thought I'd better do something about that. Yeah. So I was a hairdresser and quite shockingly, I only went to college because you were allowed to smoke in the canteen then. But I had a blast, met some really good people. And then when I was, I think I was, must have been about 26, and my son was very little, I found myself on my own and thought, well, I need to sort my life out. So I went and got a degree and trained.
As you do.
I'll
just go and get a degree.
I didn't really know what I wanted to do. So I did economics, which seemed like a good idea at the time. It was actually kind of dull. But I did that, and there I trained to be a teacher in the East End of London, Hackney and Bow and all around there, which is very colourful but very much fun. And I did that for, at least 20-ish years.
Right, okay.
I was assistant head teacher for quite some time of that. In between that, I did a master's and some various bits and bobs. And then about 10 years ago, I started writing. It was weird, actually. I'd always loved to read and I'd always loved poetry, and I used to write poems for people's weddings and bar mitzvahs, funerals, that kind of thing. Right. My husband and I were in the car and we were talking about, after, you know, having taught for many years, I still had a few ladies. I used to do their hair, and more like a bit of a mercy mission. It was just people who couldn't get to the hairdressers, maybe. So it was sort of a bit more of a like a community kind of project. And my husband would always kind of try to be, you know how husbands try to be interested and they're not dreadfully interested.
In hair.
Yeah. Or, yeah. He would say to me, oh, no, whose hair are you doing today? And I'd say, oh, you know, Joan. And he had no idea who Joan was if he fell
Joan
over.
Joan Collins,
his, yeah,
darling.
You know, yeah. I was never that good. And so because he didn't ever know who I was talking about, I used to come up with like little names for my, you know, for my clients.
You
know,
fibbed him, didn't you?
Well, yeah. No, I'd say, you know, Joan, whose husband ran off with the milkman, you know that one? Oh, yeah, that Joan. Still none the wiser who Joan was. Anyway, I named one of my clients and he said to me, oh, my God, Kaz, that's a great title for a book. You should write that. And I said, sure, I think I will. So I did. And that was literally how it started,
well,
which is weird.
What was the title?
The title was The One-Legged Lady from Balmoral Road. And I'll leave you to do the math on that. It's not about anyone in particular. And the road name was changed and various other bits were changed. But that's how that sprung about.
So you write fiction?
Well, I write women's fiction, which what they call chick lit. It's kind of Bridget Jonesy, rom-com, satirical kind of stuff. I do also write children's books. I think I've written like about 5 children's books and about 9 women's fiction books. I think I'm on number 14 now.
Are you at Harbour Books in Whitstable?
I have, yeah. My books are in Harbour Books and I've done a couple of little workshops for them on a Saturday.
Yeah.
So as my journey went on and I left teaching kind of, I've dipped my toe back in and out of the water, but I sort of officially left teaching maybe about 5 years ago and went and worked for a water company, did all their educational outreach quite randomly. And then I got made redundant and I thought, you know what, I'm just actually going to follow what I'd really like to do, which has sort of been festering in the background, but I was a bit scared maybe. And so now I write books full time. I set up a writing academy, so I help other people to write, and I set up my own little publishing house so I could help people to publish as well.
What's it
called?
It's called Mabel and Stanley Publishing,
really?
Because obviously my big dog is called Mabel, so it's Mabel and Stanley. And in lockdown, that's when it really happened. That's when I got made redundant, was in August 2020. So that was timing. Was everything, although it was probably really good timing looking back. 5 people joined my academy and they all published within a year and they'd not written
that's
before.
Fantastic.
Excellent.
I want to ask you this.
Go on then.
And this is a businessy thing because I'm just pretending this is a business show.
Yeah.
But I have read quite a lot in terms of about authorship and book writing.
Yeah.
That it isn't massively lucrative. Unless you really start to
JK
sell.
Rowling.
Yeah.
Someone.
Do you know what, though? That it is true. And it's, I think writing the book is the easy bit.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, people buy from people. We all know that, don't we? And if you write books, there are a squillion, billion, trillion books out there. And they're all, but I don't think we'll ever run out of needing books. It's one of those things that's will never be exhausted, I don't think.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But your success as an author is all about your profile as an author. And for me, that's been the hardest bit. Right. I can write you a book I've written 5 books this year. And the last one in the series, they weren't particularly long, maybe like 30,000 words, but I wrote that in 2 days. I don't find it really very hard.
So you're head down.
Literally, when I'm in
very
the zone.
Focused.
Yeah, I love it. I really enjoy it.
It's like Barbara Cartland used to knock out books like 1 a week.
How many pages?
Yeah. I think that if that's your thing, I mean, you know, don't ask me to do anything scientific or mathematical, but writing that it just comes quite easy to me.
Sure, yeah.
That's just my thing.
It's your talent.
My thing.
And you've got a talent for it and you do it. And that's absolutely how it should be.
Still can't run. I think it took me 11 minutes to run a mile at school, so I'm not really very good at sport or anything else. But, the marketing is really the hardest. And the criminal thing about it is, I was talking to one of my authors, Trudy Smith. She came down to see me yesterday. We went and walked to the lovely Mabel on the beach. She's recently just published a book with me. It's a young adult fiction about an Egyptology kind of sci-fi type thing. Very good. Yeah, and we were chatting and we were saying it's actually criminal. If you knew how much royalties an author makes on a book, whether you self-publish or hire, and that's a discussion for another day, but you can write a book that's taken you a year and you end up with like making 30p a book or a pound a book, you know. Yeah. And people will balk at, oh, $5.99 for a book, and they'll go to Costa and buy a, you know, caramel frappe latte doodah, and remortgage their house. So it's not very fair, but then life isn't fair.
I found with the big publishing companies, my new husband's written a couple of books, and like I won't mention names, but you know the publishers, Paul. Their marketing was absolutely dire.
Do you know?
Absolutely dire. You may have heard, and their editing, actually.
Well, yeah, and you've heard of Julie Wasmer, haven't you?
Yeah, of course.
She's written
the
Whitstable Pearl Mysteries, and she's very supportive, actually, of new authors. She's really lovely.
Yeah, she's a nice
and,
lady.
And I've been to a few of her author talks, and we've talked about this at length about writing, etc. And she herself has said, even if you get published by one of the big five, so we're talking like HarperCollins, of those,
Random House,
they still won't do your marketing. Now, because I was traditionally published for two of my novels. And when I got my publishing deal, I was like, whoop, I've made it. Like, this is me. I'm coming home. You know, this is great. And actually, it was probably one of the worst things I did because they didn't do my marketing.
No.
And in their defense, the reason they don't do your marketing is because you're an unknown. And to make someone a known from an unknown, it's jolly hard work, and it takes a lot of time, a lot of investment, a lot of energy, a lot of money.
Yeah.
And they haven't got the time or the energy or the inclination.
But
so
in my experience, it's the turnover on some of these big publishing houses. Every time New Husband wrote a book, and I was dealing with it as the PR, the staff turnover was unbelievable. Very young people, and they just weren't. You just make a connection, and you start getting on, and you start saying what help you can do.
Maybe that's
and then they go.
Yeah. I just think that, which is why a lot of celebrities will write a book, because they've already got that platform,
and that's
the point. Like, you know, my books are in Waterstones. Now, when I got my first book into Waterstone, I was like, oh, you know, this is it. But if you imagine your tiny little spine is in amongst 1,000 other tiny little spines, and unless you get the table at the front with the poster, you know, it's really difficult. But that's not to say that it isn't achievable, and there are strategies that you can use, which was one of my thoughts about
swipe it off and put yours there.
Go into Waterstones in the dead of night and start setting light to other people's books.
Don't you run in there and go, oh my god, you're the only bookshop in the south of England that's got a Karen Stanley left. Thank you. I haven't done that,
but I'm actually going to try that now. Start rolling Mission Impossible style music as I lower myself down through the ceiling. But but it's too and there's lots of, like, for example, my strategy this year, a lovely friend of mine, she writes the Cornish Midwife series, and she's doing really well, rightly so. She's a very talented writer, but she's been plugging away at it for a few years, and she's been working hard. And she said to me, Karen, right, what you need to do is you need to write a series. So she said, why don't you write 4 or 5 books in a year that culminate in a Christmas special? Great idea, I thought, me and my stupid notion. Mm-hmm. So that's what I've done this year. So I've written 5 books culminating in the Christmas special, which was part of my... So there are strategies you can employ.
Right.
But it ain't easy.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And that's fantastic. And thank you for enlightening us with that, because I talk to lots of people. A lot of people think that there's a truism, isn't it, that everyone's got a book in them or something.
Which may be true.
Yeah, maybe true. Well, it's not true for me. I am a massive reader.
Right,
I am a massive reader.
But you don't read fiction.
I do read fiction.
Do you?
I do read fiction.
I never knew that about you.
Historical fiction. And for instance, what day? With Tuesday, I started a new series of books on Saturday, and I've just finished the fourth one.
Oh, yeah, you are a reader then.
I read a huge amount quickly, and I take it in. But there's no way on God's earth that I could write anything. I can't even write an email.
It's funny, isn't it?
I have no inclination to do it either.
And that's probably why you can't. Yeah. We do what we're passionate about, don't we?
Yeah. Yeah. I absolutely adore reading.
Yeah.
And I read enormous amounts, but I used to do a monthly column for a magazine, and that was like torture.
It
was
torture.
It was absolute torture. Yeah. 1,200 words once a month, and I couldn't do it. Anyway, I'm not interested in me. I'm interested in you. What I wanted to ask you is this series, and we're going to talk about this, because this is fantastic. You'll love this, folks. This is fantastic. It's really brilliant. Everything comes together here. Right. So you were advised to write a series.
Yeah.
Have you written them before publishing any of them?
No, I wrote them through the year.
Right.
So I basically said, right, okay, I'm going to write 5 books this year, and I'm going to do one for New Year, one for spring, one for summer, one for autumn, and a Christmas special. So literally, as I bought the first one out, I'd be writing the next one ready for the next deadline. Yeah. So it seemed like a good idea at the time.
Well, we got two things to explore here. We're going to explore the books, and we're going to explore the process.
Yeah, okay.
But first of all, let's talk about the books, The Dog and Duck.
I know. It was almost, what was I going to call it before? I can't even remember. It's So the Dog and Duck now. I did have another pub name for it, and I put a shout out to my like girly friends. What do you think? They were like, oh, Dog and Duck all the way, because I was thinking, you know, Frog and Trumpet or something. It had to be something a bit, but Dog and Duck seemed to work. So, yeah, it was the Dog and Duck, and it just sort of came to me. I don't know why, because I thought, well, if I'm going to write a series, a pub's a really good place to write a series, because you've got lots. I'm quite character driven in my writing, so you've got lots of different characters coming and going.
I hope we don't appear in her books.
You probably will, but I just won't tell you. Pretty much everyone I've met has appeared in this, little bits of them. So I thought pub's a great place for it, because there's lots of people coming and going, and there's loads of opportunities for, and I'm quite satirical, so.
Well, it's interesting you say that. If you think about every soap opera on TV is focused around a pub. You know, you've got
it's Emma a great Dana, meeting place.
You've got Emma Down and the Wallpack, you've got EastEnders and the Queen Vic, and you've got Coronation Street and the Ravers Return.
Because where else would they meet?
Exactly.
Otherwise, you'd just be passing people in the street all the time, which would be a bit weird, wouldn't it? So I thought, that was the idea. And for me, the title always comes first. So as soon as I've got the title, that's sort of it.
Yeah.
And then I thought, right, okay, so how are we going to get everybody together in this pub? And then I came up with Kim, who's the main character, and she inherits a pub from her great uncle Frank in the back of Beyond, and called the Dog and Duck. She doesn't want to go there, but her husband, who's a bit of a... what's the polite word for idiot? Idiot. He says, no, we're going. She wants to sell the pub and keep the money, but he says, no, we're going, because he quite fancies himself as a landlord, you know.
Right.
And so they end up at this pub, and it's how her life unfolds throughout one year at the Dog and Duck.
So we don't want to give too much away, because we want you to buy the book and read the whole series. Yeah. And I'm certainly going to buy it and have a read of it. But the premise of the book is everything takes place in the pub.
In and around the pub. Very character driven, as I say. It's about the people who come and go and the stories they bring with them, I guess.
And the genre, is it chick lit?
I'd say it's romantic fiction. Well, it's not really romantic, because there's not a lot of sauce in this one. So it's there is romance and friendship and relationships in it. I like to think of it sort of. People who enjoy my books have said they're quite relatable. So I like to think it's sort of real life
is it
fiction.
Is it rom-com? Sort of, I suppose.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I always remember years ago, because I'm quite old, when I lived in Clapham, reading Gilly Cooper's The Common Years.
Okay.
And it was years ago. I mean, I was in my 20s, but it really resonated with me, because it was all about the relationships between dog walkers on Clapham Common met. And it's like that, as a dog walker, how you chat with other dog walkers. And it was really, really good. And it still sticks in my mind. And I read a lot in winter, not so much in summer, but in dark nights and that, we read a lot. And I've got fascinated by Alexandra Fuller.
Okay.
Don't Let's Go to the Dogs Tonight, which is, I love Africa, and it's based on her childhood in Zimbabwe. Mm. And Gav and I went mad, new husband and I went mad, and bought the whole lot of them. And they are fascinating.
Yeah.
She writes absolutely beautifully. Yeah. And of course, I'm just reading Crawdads,
Where the Crawdads sing.
I won't watch the film till I've read the book.
Yeah.
Which is great, but reading is amazing.
I Karen used to do a radio show here, as I said earlier, about authors and writing, and inspired a little bit by Karen. I've got a couple of authors that I want to invite on the Business Bunker show, because I really want to talk to them. They're my authors are the kind of books that I read, so I want to talk to them.
We could have a book special, couldn't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
Every once a month, have a.
That'd be cool. That'd be good, yeah.
Books I like and books you like, which are quite different.
Yeah. But coming back to the Dog and Duck series, so you've got 5 books around the Dog and Duck.
Yeah.
And I happen to know, and this is fantastic, you're going to do a launch, aren't you?
I am. Now, this is like, talk about, I actually think I am probably a witch.
Yeah.
Or, well, my husband probably would agree with that wholeheartedly. But it's weird, because I gave you an email, didn't I? And said, you did. Have you got any spaces on the Business Bunker? And you were like, I've just had a cancellation, and my life is a bit like that. It's all a bit, you know, you know, tales of the unexpected, a bit weird. So my husband was driving around in his little van like he does, and we were going out for dinner, and he said, oh, shame we're a bit late because I was going to take you for a drink at this pub. And I said, all right. And he said, it's called the Dog and Duck. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cute. Anyway, we never made it there, but I thought that was quite sweet. And he said, oh, I've drove past it and thought, oh, you know.
Was this after you'd written the book?
Yeah, I was in the throes of like book number 3 or 4 or whatever it was. And he said, oh, I just thought it would be kind of cute. We should go there and have a pint, you know, just for a giggle. Anyway, and then originally I don't know why, because I always, you know, you never take your own advice. I always say to my authors, really celebrate when something comes out, blah, blah, blah. I hadn't really thought about a book launch. Anyway, I was chatting to one of, she's a very good friend of mine now, but she also published with me, Fiona Schultz. And I said, you know what, blow it. I'm going to do a book launch. She said, yeah, like you've written 5 books. You really should do a launch. And I said, yeah, where could I have it? Well, where could I have that? Where could I have?
Horsebridge.
The Dog and Duck.
Oh.
Book launch. Well, I wonder where I could have that. And I went, oh my God, the Dog and Duck Inn, you know. And I said, why I didn't think of that before. So got in touch with them. Jason and Tracy, lovely landlord and landlady, Jason and Tracy Moon, said, would you mind if I held my book launch in? They were like, well, that's random. Never been asked that before. But yeah. And it's, the place is Plucks Gutter.
What a fantastic name for a place.
Just near Canterbury. So that really made me get my finger out, because I thought, well, it's got to be finished. The launch is on the 2nd of December, so that was a good deadline.
So the Dog and Duck series is being launched at the Dog and Duck in Plucksgut. You can make this stuff up.
Marvellous, isn't it marvellous?
Yeah. And to be honest, Karen, there's got to be at least a 6th book or a new series that's all about Plucksgutter.
Oh, it's got to be. And I'm not sure. I try to keep the places in my books as a little bit ambiguous, because you know, otherwise you then I'm a bit lazy. You have to start doing research and finding out if the grocers really is next to the hairdressers and all that kind of stuff, which I just simply haven't got the time for. So it's always a bit ambiguous, and I think it's sort of in East Anglia type of place, you know. Yeah. But had I known about Plucksgutter, it would have had to have been there for sure.
And what a fabulous name it is. For those that don't know, Plucksgutter is a small hamlet just near Stourmouth, isn't it?
Yeah, just outside of Canterbury, really. Yeah, around that way, yeah.
Oh, wonderful. I love stuff like that.
It just felt like it was meant to be. And we're having a quiz, and all the questions are going to be dogs and duck, about dogs and ducks, or bands with dogs in the title or ducks in the title. And the weirdest thing is, since I've booked the launch, which again is probably evidence of my witchery, I've bumped into so many people. Like, I bumped into a lady who was randomly cleaning our local pub, and she got on to talking about teaching. I started talking about the books. Turns out she taught the children of the landlord and landlady at the Dog and Duck. And then I was at Zoe's ZC Live the other week, sitting in the VIP room because I was giving a talk.
You did a talk there.
It was fabulous. Sitting next to a guy there, and he was like, oh, I know the Dog and Duck. I know them. And it's like, I feel like I've had a few messages from the universe just to say, yeah, it's all right, just keep going.
It's really odd how that kind of thing happens. But
it's weird.
It does happen an awful lot. That series of coincidences and stuff. And I once read a book about coincidences.
Yeah.
And there's also a chap, his name's Nassim Nicholas Taleb, and he's got about 20 degrees in different things, and he's a multimillionaire and all kinds of stuff, and he's got a brain like a planet. And I follow him on Twitter, but half the time I don't even understand what he's saying. I don't even really. Yeah. But you probably have heard of him. He wrote a book called The Black Swan, and he specializes in mathematical probabilities.
Yeah.
And one of the things he says is that so many things happen that people try to build evidence for, but in fact it's just coincidence. And what you don't understand is how prevalent coincidence is. It just happens a lot.
It can be an incredibly small world, can't it?
Yeah.
Well, and there is, you know, I'm quite a believer, you know, what you give out, you attract, and all that kind of stuff. And I do think sometimes these if it's, but the thing is, being a writer, like if people say to me, oh, I've got no inspiration or whatever, you have to allow it in. And sometimes if you're close to that inspiration, it won't come. So the same with coincidence, you sort of have to allow them in and take them for, oh, okay, that maybe that's a good sign, you know? Yeah. So I am quite, I do have a little bit of, take a bit of store in that. But
I quite like proofreading as well. I enjoy proofreading. I'm a very fast reader and I always spot things really, really
It's different. Easily. Do you know what? I've proofread a lot and I've proofread all of my authors that I published. Mm. But oh my goodness me, it's quite...
Being a teacher, of course. Do you get them on their grammar and their apostrophes?
They kept joking and saying I needed a new red pen because I was scribbling all over there.
See me later.
Well, that's one thing that Wiley sent out. They changed their editors to... And they farmed it out to India. Mm. And it was bad. It was really bad. But it's all
it's
about
quite
profit.
A skill, though.
It's all about profit.
Skill. Yeah. Yeah. And it's quite hard to proofread your own work because you read what you think you've written.
Yeah.
So I read it, then I send it to my friend Fiona. She's my beta reader. And then it goes and is proofread again. So it has three bites at the cherry.
Yeah.
But, you know, there still might be the odd thing that slips through the net annoyingly, but we do our best.
Yeah, exactly.
We do our best. But yeah, no, I've really enjoyed it. There have been a couple of hairy moments throughout the year when I've thought, oh my God, it's summer. Well, in April, I'm thinking about summer because I've just finished the spring one and I'm thinking, oh, I promised this one for July. So I've had to kind of, pull my finger out and get, but it's been good for my motivation.
How do you find it working when the sun, because I find it very difficult to sit at my desk when the sun's out. I often work in the garden.
I can't work in the garden because it shines on the laptop and then I get distracted and all that. So yeah, I have to be disciplined.
So anyway, excuse me, you've got five books.
Yeah.
The fifth one is the Christmas special.
Christmas Gifts at the Dog and Duck,
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
And is that what you're launching at the Dog and Duck?
Oh, what I'm actually, because I had a bit of a thought about this as well, and I thought, well, if I launch a Christmas book, so the idea was to write four books that, and then the fifth one would be the final part, and then so I've released them as ebooks throughout the year, and then the fifth one will be a paperback with all of those episodes in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is it a series? Does one book follow the next?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. You could read them in their own, but they're much better as a series, I think.
Yep.
So I was going to, my original plan was to launch Christmas Gifts at the Dog and Duck. And then I thought, well, that's all very well. But if I launch that and then someone wants to buy it in June, no one's going to buy a Christmas book in June. It's a bit, you know, so I thought, well, with my business head on, I'm launching 1 year at the Dog and Duck.
Right.
However, people who are coming to the launch or people who want to pre-order, they can buy a limited edition of the book with the Christmas Gifts book jacket that goes over the top of the whole thing. And I'm only doing about 50 copies of that. So that makes it quite special. Right. And you can still buy the books individually as ebooks if you want. But yeah, so what I'm actually launching is 1 year at the Dog and Duck, which will contain the ultimate, you know, the final episode in Kim's journey.
So when's this launch party taking place in Puxcutter?
Yeah, it's Friday the 2nd of December, 7 o'clock in the evening. People who want to come, if you want to get on the guest list, you can go onto my website, which is karenstanley-author.co.uk, and you can book your place. But it's filling up. I've had so much of a good response and so many people have said, oh, I can't wait to come. We've got a big hamper. We've got a girls' night in or a man's night in, if you're that way inclined, which will be full of like some of my books, and I've had some really nice prizes being donated for the hamper. We've got the Dog and Duck themed quiz. We've got some nibbles courtesy of the pub, and we're gonna have some Dog and Duck wine and some little goodies
and fun shenanigans.
So it should be good fun.
Sounds like it's going to be a fantastic evening.
Yeah.
Do try and get along there if you can, but book your place because it is going to be busy. Karen, that's a fantastic story and I love it. Just finally rounding up.
Yeah.
Once you've done that, what next?
Well, my friend Fiona said, oh my God, you can't leave the Dog and Duck there. You've got, and I was like, do you know what? I'm a bit dog and ducked out. So, but I think, you know, like if it was good enough for Del Boy, it's probably going to be, there might be have to be a comeback episode. I'm sure there will be. But there were, I want to write, and this is the thing about writing as well. You know, non-fiction books can be, sometimes sell better than fiction books. You know, I want to write a couple of books, how to write a novel and how to write a business book, sort of just short kind of how-to guides. I'd like to write two of those next year. And I had two books that I started before The Dog and Duck, one called Sophie Loves Tom Hardy, Tom Hardy being her dog, and a psychological thriller, sort of like a whodunit, called The Wrong Number. I sort of started them and then I couldn't finish them because I got engrossed in The Dog and Duck. So I'm kind of thinking I'll get those out of the way and then there'll be maybe a Dog and Duck special. I don't know.
You clearly are so passionate about writing.
Yeah.
And I love that. I think it's fantastic. And the fact that you can kind of knock these things out is just a brilliant talent. And
thank you. I think it's like anyone who's got a passion. It sort of becomes like an artist, I suppose. It becomes an itch you've got to scratch, doesn't it? Yeah, you know, sure. And once I get a story in my head, I go to bed dreaming about The Dog and Duck and Kim and all of the other characters in it. And in my head, they're real.
Real, yeah absolutely.
Which is, you know, part of, if you can make them real in your head, then it makes it easier to write.
Yeah. I think new husband and I have said, you know, we're going to turn the telly off and have like more reading evenings in these dark nights. It's lovely. Yeah. Sit by the fire and read. I love reading. Yeah. Absolutely love it. It's the best escape, isn't it?
Oh, it's amazing, actually. And you know, how many times do people say, well, the book was much better than the film?
Yeah.
Because there's no
Because the films always get Hollywooded, don't they?
Well,
they get too glitzy. Yeah.
And no one controls what you think.
Like Girl on the Train, you know.
Yeah, reading a book is about you and the book, and you can make the story in your
exactly
own image.
Yeah.
If somebody else does it for you with a film, you go, well, that's not how I envisioned it.
Yeah. I was so upset with Girl on the Train when it got all Americanized.
Yeah,
I haven't
seen it.
But the book I absolutely love because I was in Clapham Junction, so I saw that grittiness of the, you know, the factor.
There's no limit to what you can imagine, is there? That's the thing. And you can make the story your own, which is why... And that's why I'm so passionate about sort of creativity and particularly with young children and things like that, because if you haven't got that, it is a real
shame when I see children not reading, because my generation, your generation grew up absolutely reading, devouring books, you know. And even when boys didn't read, one of my sons didn't read particularly fiction, but he would read non-fiction.
Yeah.
So we would get him channeled that way.
Yeah. I mean, I started just with comics.
Yeah.
Comics are great. You know,
a little kid, I used to read.
Dandy, Beano.
Yeah, I did, but I read The Victor and The Eagle and,
I had Jackie. Yeah. I mean, can you imagine waiting for Jackie? It was
And the Bunty. Thing was, in those days, you had to wait for it to come out, though, didn't you? Now it's
click.
Sort of spoon-fed, so there was a bit more excitement.
When I was five or six, my comics were delivered on a Saturday morning. I used to sit in front of the front door underneath the letterbox, waiting for them to come through the letterbox.
That and a Curly Whirly, it's all you need.
Curly Whirly.
Karen, it's been an absolute pleasure
talking to you.
We love your passion. If you want to be there, but you've got to be quick and book your place by going to Karen's website, which you can find on the Business Bunker Radio website. But it's taking place. The launch party is the 2nd of December at the Dog and Duck in Pluxgutter.
I know. Serendipity right there. Yeah. And the book doesn't come out until that day. So it's like, brilliant. It's all
Is that you?
That's me.
Wayne, you look very different. You've got long hair.
Yeah, that was before the disastrous haircut, but we don't mention that.
Oh, it wasn't you doing it, obviously, because you are a good hairdresser. So Wayne Cunnington, who's listening, is tracking you down.
Oh, crikey.
Cool. Karen, thank you so much for that.
Thank you, my love.
And we wish you continued success with your writing and publishing.
Thank you.
And we know you will be successful.
Well, thank you. It's not for want of trying.
Absolutely.
No, thank you. Thanks for having me.
No, it's always a pleasure. Right, I've had a tweet from Tenterton Chamber. They say, hi, Vanilla Webb and Jules. How about a shout out for a busy chamber team working through all the notes from the ZC social media presentation this morning? So thank you for that. We haven't got long left of the show.
Terry Rofi, my burger alarm man, has been listening in, and he said, I've invited him on in the new year to talk about stuff because they just repositioned, we knocked down a garage, so they've repositioned our camera.
Brook Alarms.
Yeah, and the alarm man had to do it in the rain. It was awful.
Yeah.
I felt really sorry for him, but, you know, all weathers. Mm-hmm. So hello to Terry Rofi. And he says hello to all your listeners as well. And Casey Canine has sent a picture in of Greyhound roaching merrily with his legs in the air, waiting for an afternoon constitutional. Please can I have a shout out? That's Casey Canine, 2014.
Fantastic. The Kent Creative Designers and Makers Market. are showing a range of products beautifully made by 22 creatives in Kent. There's a chance to talk to the makers and to buy local. A perfect opportunity if you are not in love with online shopping. It's taking place at the Turner Contemporary in Margate.
Oh, lovely.
On the 3rd and 4th of December. Mm-hmm. If you want to find out more, cultureinkent.org/events.
And let's have a big shout out for all the independent shops. So again, my new husband went down to Staines, our local greengrocer, and you'll see on my Twitter the difference between his lemons and a supermarket lemon is quite astounding.
Yeah.
Tented and Chamber, did you read them out?
Yep.
I just read it.
I
usually hang on your every word.
Yeah. Kent Virtual Networking is taking place on Wednesday the 30th of November. 4 to 5pm. It's free to attend and it's a virtual event. It's hosted by Peter Searle. It's part of the FSB Connect Online events. And these Kent events are relaxed networking with like-minded business owners. Everyone is welcome. This month's speaker will be Kirsty Winter, and Kirsty is from Kent Police. If you want to find out more, go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar. All the details and the booking link are there.
And sorry, my timeline is very, very, very fast.
Have you got any emails to read?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I have. But Save Our Farms have tweeted in. There are fields in the picture because they're building all over Kent. So I can't really read all of that. It's huge, but it's about food security in Kent. Save Our Farms. And the next meeting of the Marsh Network, which is online, will be 10:30 a.m. on the 16th of November. And the speaker will be a surprise guest. That means they haven't booked it yet.
They haven't got one yet. Yeah. Oh, you cynic.
I know. Why don't you pop down there, Karen?
I can do.
Yeah, I'll tell you there.
Hold on. Do you like talking about your books?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
No.
I like talking in general, my husband would say.
Yeah, no. What's your star sign, I wanted to ask?
I'm Virgo.
Okay, because you've had a lot of career changes, so I was thinking maybe a Gemini, but
my husband,
no, she's not two-faced.
My husband jokes, and because I always say you might as well try everything once, you know, what's the worst going to happen? Nobody died, and he said, I'm going to put that on your tombstone.
Well, here you are. You can contact them to be their surprise guest speaker, marshnetwork.co.uk, and you can contact also Terry Botfield at TD Botty.
Well, you can, yeah.
BOTTY on the Twitter. Mm. And he has an email, which is terry@botfield.net. And that Marsh Networking is 10:30 a.m. on the 16th of November, if you've got time.
Well, yeah.
Tenterden Garden Centre.
Yeah, go on.
Visit Father Christmas in his elf-built grotto every weekend. Dates from 19th of November until the 24th of December. The entry fee is £12 a child, includes magical Christmas tree, age-appropriate gift and activity trail. In my day, it was free to go and see Father Christmas. You had to sit on his lap there, which I never was very keen on.
They get quite a snazzy present these days, I think.
Do they? It's all changed.
Yeah.
Canterbury Christchurch University have got a Christmas reception. It's taking place on Thursday the 1st of December from 5pm to 7pm. It's at the Canterbury Christchurch University, North Holmes Road. And it's a festive networking event overlooking the historic Augustine Abbey in Canterbury Christchurch University's new Verena Holmes building. Meet with like-minded organisations and business and find out how the university can support your goals with the new government-funded Help to Grow management scheme. And there'll be festive drinks and nibbles for you to enjoy.
Oh, I'll be there. So DG East 1 has said, please can you give a shout out to a business thoroughly inspired by Zoe Cairns at ZC Social Media this morning. Have you read this just now?
No.
Sounds familiar. Because we're just talking about Zoe Cairns.
I read the Chamber one.
And I saw her on telly last night.
Yeah.
So he was at the White Lion, I think, which is TN30. Is that Tunbridge Wells?
No, Tenterden.
Oh, Tenterden. And the tent, of course, Tenterden Chambers, which is at Tent Chamber. So thank you for that. I will retweet it.
Because sadly, I missed it. It's the first one I missed. I had a family problem that I had to deal with. So I missed ZC Live. But I understand there was a particular speaker there that went down a storm, Karen.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
It's a great event, though. She does put on an event, doesn't she?
She does, but I did see a lot of feedback about how good your little talk was.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. I did get some really nice comments, which was...
It's lovely when that happens.
Oh, it was great. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was lovely.
Yeah. There's a design and sustainability consultation taking place with Maidstone Borough Council. They're consulting on the development of a design and sustainability development plan document, and they're encouraging residents, businesses and stakeholders to have their say to help embed good design and sustainability within the new development. The consultation opens from the 28th of October and closes on the 12th of December. And you can take part in it by following the following link, maidstone.objective.co.uk/portal. That's maidstone.objective.co.uk/portal. Responses received to this consultation will then go on to inform a more detailed document, which will be the subject for further consultation. There's a lot of meetings there by the look of it.
Maidstone Borough Council is warning residents about the risk of flooding. Flood warning information can be found on their websites. Maidstone Borough Council flood advice. So it's on their website. So if you see any blockages in watercourses, report them, please, to the Environment Agency. There's a free 24-hour incident hotline.
I need to get my sandbags out.
Are you prone to flooding? Well, not you personally. But
you've got a personal question for a Tuesday.
My office in Maidstone is in the flood zone. When the Medway floods, we get flooded.
Well, it has been raining. It has been raining a lot. But we've got a hosepipe ban in Whitstable, which is bonkers.
Well, the problem
is, because they don't collect the rain.
No, what it is the Tunbridge Wells dam, which they built a few years ago, to stop Tunbridge Wells flooding, they opened the dam, and then that floods Maidstone.
Why have they
solved one problem? And
so that Tunbridge Wells doesn't flood.
Oh, okay. And so it's gone the other way.
Yeah, yeah. And what happens is, where we are at the bottom of the high street is we're near the underpass, and the underpass fills up with water really quickly, and then it floods up the street.
My old dad, Victor, always said, never buy at the bottom of a hill.
Yeah, yeah.
That was quite wise words.
Yeah.
But it does rain a lot in the winter, but we do need reservoirs because they're building houses, you know, on the Thanet Way, huge estates, and we're getting sewage in the sea all the time when it rains, so they need to sort that out, really.
Yep.
Folkestone and Hythe Council have a green business grant.
You've already read that.
Oh, okay. I need that. How's it gone back in my pile?
I've
read all mine then.
Okay. The Kent and Medway Business Summit is taking place on Friday the 13th. Is that a good date? That's not a good date to pick,
is it? That's some planning there.
Yeah. Friday the 13th of January 2023 in the award-winning Sibson Building on the Canterbury campus of the University of Kent. Bringing together over 300 businesses, key policymakers, and leading academics, this is the sixth annual summit, and it will focus on the latest news from key projects and leading expert keynote speakers from across the county, alongside Q&A and debate on topics including productivity, sustainability, placemaking, and skills. To celebrate the summit being back in its January slot for 2023, we're offering an early bird discount for anyone who signs up for the event over the next few months. Full details and book here. You can go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar and find out all about it. Are you feeling cold?
I'm freezing.
She's zipping up her woolly.
Where I am. I've got three layers, as I showed you earlier, but you grimace. There's a big, even my hands are cold. Are you?
Yeah, I'm sitting on my hands warm.
Yeah, we turned the aircon off, so it's ridiculous. I've got some good puns from Wayne. These are from earlier on. So he says, school day foods, wow, hated marrowfat peas, but love semolina. And then he said, I'd like you to know I've never been pegged. I have no interest in being pegged. Lol. And then he said, really plumbing the depths of innuendo. That was awful. So I think that was about our river trips, whatever we were saying then, rambling, basically.
Right.
But I think we need a ferry across from Whitstable to Southend, because the Dartford Tunnel is a nightmare, especially when there's demonstrations and they've closed it. That would be great.
Be nice.
Why don't you authors get together and sort one out?
get the
Greta popping over. Yeah.
At one time, one of the options for the new Dartford crossing was to actually build a bridge from
Whitstable, Sheppey.
From just outside Whitstable over to to the Essex coast and exactly. then join up to Southend.
It might make sense.
In my old days...
They're not going to do it, though.
No.
In my old days, when I was a business editor of the Whitstable Times, I was always going on about that. We just need a little ferry going across. Mm. And you, if you may remember, there used to be hovercats that used to go Dover to Calais, hovercats that came from Australia.
Once as a kid.
They were hovercats, they were called. Yeah. And they were from Australia, but they were very choppy, but they Pretty. Were so fast.
Yeah.
They were really fast.
Not a beautiful experience. As I
it
remember.
Was a horrible experience. I went on them a couple of times and they were really
seasick.
They were really fast, but you were so ill. If you went on a day trip, you never saw any of France because you were honking up all the time you were there. And then you got back on it and came back and honked up the other side.
Yeah, it wasn't not just the me. Muscles.
Yeah, it's not for me. That Le Moule.
Now you just get on the train. You don't even have to go across the sea, do you? You go under it.
I know. It's a weird
I do like
that,
the old.
It? It's weird, though, yeah. That you get on a train and suddenly. You're
I don't like the feeling of all that water above me. I kind of like the ferry. I'm a bit spooked by it, all that water. Imagine if it just collapsed.
When they first opened the tunnel, and it was still building its popularity, there used to be a crossing at 6 o'clock on a Saturday morning, and nobody ever went on it. So they had this promotional thing to do the 6 o'clock, only the 6 o'clock crossing. It was £1.
Wow.
It was £1 return.
Yeah.
And me and a mate, Rowley, we used to go every Saturday.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, we go every Saturday. We go shopping in...
to the hypermarket.
In City Europe.
City Europe.
So we go shopping and we buy, you know, all the baguettes wine and all the rest of it. Oui. Then we pop over to Saint-Omer for lunch.
Mais oui. Oh, yeah, Saint-Omer, fantastic.
Yeah, we'd have lunch in the medieval piazza in Saint-Omer.
Avec
le vin. And then we'd hotly get back. And we used to do that every Saturday until the customs people kept pulling us over and going, right, empty the van. What are you up to? And we're going, we just go shopping in Calais
just
every Saturday. And they stripped our entire car. I had a Chrysler Jeep then. They stripped the entire thing down. They didn't find anything.
How long ago was this?
When they first opened, would it have been 1990, 91?
Who is this friend, Rowley? I've never met him.
No, I know. He lives in Turks and Caicos Islands now.
Oh, wow.
You're lucky, Rowley.
Yeah, sounds lovely.
He was a teacher.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
But there is something nice about getting on the ferry. I kind of like getting on the ferry, and then you have a little glass of wine and a coffee, and then you see Calais
arrive.
Feels
like a bit more of an occasion.
Yeah.
But if you're, we go down to the south of France quite a lot. So if you're going for a long drive, really, you don't want to be faffing. You just want to get there.
You just want to get there.
Yeah. Exactly. But it does feel a bit more like a trip away, doesn't it?
Yeah. I've gone off going to France since all their rules about masks and that. They've just bringing masks back in France.
Oh,
and, you know,
France.
They were stopping people going in cafes and that. So I've gone off France a bit. I used to like it.
Mm.
But I don't like rules.
Anyway, we're at the end of another show.
Are we already?
Yeah, I want to say a huge thank you to all of our guests. We spoke earlier to Chucks Uwachia from Kent Housing. We spoke to Steve Noyes of Lighting of London. We, of course, spoke to the wonderful Karen Stanley, Dog and Duck Queen.
Queen of the Dog and Duck.
Queen of the Dog and Duck at Puck's Gutter. I mean, you couldn't make it
Oh,
up,
it's beautiful, isn't it? It was
just
poetic
fantastic.
License, though. It was
I've just got to interrupt. So Sarah Marsh Collins has just said that she, talking about shop local, she popped into a farm shop on the way back to Hawkchurch from Chard, and the size of their garlic, and
was
she picked up some lovely local piccalilli, and butter, local milk and eggs. So we love this. Shop local, always shop local.
We've reached the end of the show.
Yeah, she's just chirped in, though.
A big thank you to my lovely, stonkingly gorgeous co-host, Jill Serkin, as well.
She's freezing.
We'll be back next week with another show. Stay safe, everybody. Have fun, and we'll see you all soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye for now.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
This is Channel 2.